The first reading is taken from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches, up from the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus and the disciples were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Four words came to mind as I prepared for this sermon. Daring decisions define destiny. Daring decisions define destiny. Now, at Wednesday's midweek service, which I don't think any of you were present at, but at the Wednesday service this week, the gospel reading was the parable of the lost sheep, where Jesus said about leaving the 99 to save the one. And I related that to searching for survivors from the Titanic after the ship went down. And I spoke of the poor decision of having insufficient lifeboats for the number of people on board the ship. Another poor decision in that tragedy was the daring decision, but a reckless decision, to steam ahead at full speed, despite warnings being given of icebergs in the sea. Hundreds of lives resting on the consequence of this choice. Today's gospel is about a daring decision, with billions of lives ultimately resting on the final outcome. In an eternal sense, one will give his life for the benefit of the many. And so Holy Week, the remembrance of the last week of Jesus' life on earth, should be a week of extraordinary importance for us as Christians. It is the most sacred time of the Christian year. The last week of Jesus' life, which began on Palm Sunday, beginning with this conscious, daring, calculated decision to ride a donkey, or rather, to be precise, a colt, a young donkey never ridden on before. A daring decision to define his destiny, all coinciding with a time when pilgrims were flocking into Jerusalem for the annual Passover celebration. A time when Israel celebrated their liberation from the Egyptian regime. Jesus had walked about 100 miles from Galilee to Jerusalem. Was he exhausted and needed the colt for the last stage of his journey? I think not. He was perfectly capable of walking into the city. Jesus would have entered that city on the east side. We know that because we're told he came from the Mount of Olives and Bethphage and Bethany, which is to the east. Here is a silent sermon from Jesus. No words necessary. He just got on the donkey and rode into the city, lapping up the joyful praise. People offering that praise were just simple peasants waving their palm branches. Now, someone else was coming to the Passover celebration that day, not because they were interested in holy days or the history of Israel and what God had done for them in the past. This visitor was coming to bring crowd control, leaving their coastal holiday home, Caesarea, on the sea. Far more pleasant than Jerusalem. Pontius Pilate was coming to Jerusalem. And given Caesarea was to the west, his entrance would have been through the west gate. So we have an east-west divide, a huge contrast. We have Jesus with his peasants singing, waving palm leaves, and Pilate with, in human terms, real imperial power and prestige. You can imagine the scene, perhaps, cavalry mounted on horses with Pilate on the most impressive stallion in the centre. Foot soldiers, leather armour, helmets, weapons, banners, golden eagles shining, mounted on poles. Their reception party would be somewhat more muted, I suspect, subservient and silent, and the only sounds being the marching of feet and clopping of hooves. No cheering or hosannas here. This procession was not only about Roman imperial power, but also about Roman imperial theology. Pilate was representing Caesar, and Caesar was known as, with small letters, Son of God, Lord of all, Saviour of the world. That's how he viewed himself. Mark, the Gospel writer, does not make explicit the link to the prophets, but Matthew does. And referring back to Zechariah, who had said that Jerusalem should rejoice, for your king is coming to you, riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And what kind of a king did Zechariah say this king would be? Well, Zechariah writes, he will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. This king, riding on the donkey, will banish war. In his kingdom, there are no chariots, no war horses, no bows. He is king of peace. Do you see what is going on here? Jesus was saying silently, I am the Son of God. I am the Father's representative. And I am telling you, Pontius Pilate, what my Father's kingdom is like. A kingdom based on justice, peace, and love. Jesus, in this procession, is presenting an alternative vision, a contrast, the kingdom of God coming from the east, Pontius Pilate and Rome coming from the west. And I should add, conflict is coming not just between them, but also between the religious leaders of the time. Jesus, we're told in Mark's gospel, goes to see what's going on in the temple and then leaves, perhaps thinking about what to do the next day. Only Mark chronicles Jesus' last week on a day-to-day basis. Today's conflict is with Rome, tomorrow with the religious authorities. So Palm Sunday is about two processions, and we're invited to consider which procession we want to be associated with. Do we want to sing Hosanna or shout Crucify? The horrendous news this week of the forgotten war in Sudan is just one example in this world we live in, one example of human cruelty and suffering caused by man's desire to fight. It reminds us of the injustice and inequality that exists in this world. I know, I am sure that we all would rather side with God's rule with a vision for peace, justice, and love for all. That is the question of Palm Sunday and the week that is set to unfold once again. It's a week that will end in joy and remind us that daring decisions do indeed define destiny. You remember those words from Mark's Gospel, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Amen.